Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
A big parade is so inspiring.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I never want to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, there would soon be nothing left of me.
Here we go. Welcome into episode 2 of More Than Marketing. I'm Rob Johnson. So on this week's episode, what I want to focus on is something that I think is kind of a taboo topic when you look at corporate image as sort of a whole. If you ask companies and have them be candid about loss, specifically what clients they've lost, why they lost them, this whole topic comes down to one major theme, which is ownership. What happened that you lost one particular client? And as I said, this is a rather taboo topic for businesses because it's something that they really don't want to focus on a whole lot, largely because it can be somewhat embarrassing. It can be a matter of pride, and a lot of companies really just try and shy away from that. And that's why I thought it was so important to do a show on this topic and talk about some of our losses as a company in its first year, what that looked like, how it materialized, what we could have done better, and what ownership we can take in that role. So for those of you just joining, this is the second episode of More Than Marketing. My name is Rob Johnson. I run the Wayne Consulting Group, co-own it actually with a friend of mine whose name's Rob Johnstone. He'll be on the show in the coming episodes doing some back and forth. And we're also going to be pulling some older audio from interviews that we've done together and putting them on this show as well. But basically the premise of this show is twofold. It's storytelling our business, and it's also telling the stories of other businesses that we work with and businesses that we have relationships with, and in talking to them about their wins, their losses, where they've grown, where they failed. And it's really just taking an honest look at business, because I think a lot of times, you know, we put ourselves in this position where, you know, we want to be kind of the Instagram baller, right? We want to, you know, the Ferrari, you know, the multi-shot video, the watches, the cash, and that's what a lot of people think this entrepreneurial journey looks like, is that particular process. You know, they'll rent a helicopter for a day and do a dramatic scene of someone stepping off of it like they're really going to a meeting, but really they're just in between places before they go back to their mother's house. So a lot of that happens frequently, too frequently, and it sets this personification up wherein people that are trying to break into the entrepreneurship game think that that is a part of the game, and it really isn't. It's actually quite absurd. That's the minority of people, and those people that do that invoke that behavior are almost always not successful because they're focusing on the wrong thing. And the right thing is people. The wrong thing is money and poor attention. And we talked a little bit about that in the first episode. So as I said, what I wanted to do here is really detail some of the losses that we've experienced as a company. And I think that it's important to do that because you can treat losses two ways. Like, you can get really upset about it and take it hard and let it impede your growth, or you can still get upset and it's completely justified, but you can look at it as a learning opportunity. And I thought about this before I went live and kind of thought about the number of clients we've quote unquote lost. And I think the number is 3, two that ended before the contract should have, and one that didn't renew. So on a project basis, we're probably at 90% retention ish, somewhere in that ballpark, probably 88 to 92%. I didn't do the exact math, but it's somewhere around there. Which is neither, it's not to say that's good or bad. I mean, it's always good to not lose any clients, but one of my favorite quotes from the show Mad Men is, you start losing clients the day you take them on. And that's absolutely true. No business bats 1,000, and especially a business that's young, has growing pains and things that they need to understand. And before I get into the details of those losses, I want to talk about one of the reasons that businesses don't necessarily discuss this too often. And that's because it might give them a bad image. So for example, if I did this show, which I'm doing right now, and then one of my clients happened to hear it, which they probably will, because we're going to be sending this to all of our clients to listen to, like as far as the catalog of the show, once it's been up and running for a bit, the fear is that someone is going to hear that we've lost a client, and because of that, they're no longer going to want to work with us. But what people fail to realize is that the businesses that we work with, and just every business in general, has lost customers, has lost clients. So it's not like someone can grab a moral high ground and say, well, I've never lost a client. And if you haven't, you either run a very specific business where you're like a middleman manufacturer, or you've only been open for a few weeks. Because whether you do construction or you do products or whatever the business is, you've lost a customer. You've gotten a bad review, whether it was online or not, whether it was word of mouth or it was in the public domain. So I'm not really worried about people thinking or knowing that we've lost clients. I've written about it on the blog. I've talked about it on other podcasts. It's not really a big deal to me, because the value of that is that we learned from it. And that makes me really happy as a business owner, is like, this is a problem that, had it not have occurred, it could have duplicated itself in another account. And that's just a learning opportunity. It's a growth. And the other thing too is, like, anytime you're hiring people, like, that's a liability. And that's a big thing that we deal with our current customers, is like, when they hire people and they bring us on board to help with retention and sales or whatever it may be, that's something that we have to be on the lookout for, is areas of growth that have to do with pain. So these growing pains that go on inside of companies, that's something that we need to look out for. But getting back to the original premise here, I don't really care if someone knows that we've lost clients. I mean, they should assume that we have, just by virtue that we're a business, and sometimes relationships don't always work out, whether it's financially driven, data driven, or just personality driven. Like, not everybody can get along with everybody. And sometimes relationships seem like they start really well, and then they sour as time goes on. Now for us, we've never had an issue where something has been personality driven, as far as the reason that a contract was opted out of. And mainly it's been either improper data, two, not setting up expectations properly, and three, not having enough time or resources to finish our job. Now, what I'll say about all of these three examples I'm going to give is that we always take ownership of this, because ultimately there are things that we could have done to potentially have prevent something from happening. Now, sometimes you get a wild duck in the game and someone, you know, just kind of goes wild west on you. And that's something that you really can't prepare for. And I'll talk about that as well. So a couple things here. I'm not going to use any names of businesses here, just out of respect for them. And I don't think that would be the right thing to do. I think the examples themselves serve as an educational and learning value apart from the names. And the names really aren't that important. What's important is, as I said, the value that comes out of the relationship and me detailing it, because I've learned a ton from it. I know Johnstone's learned a ton from it, and our existing clients have learned from that as well, whether they know it or not, because that education that we received from these events has infused itself into our business. So the first example that I have is we were working for a company, and this was kind of a very quick escalation, because normally, like when, especially for a marketing company or an org dev shop like us, it takes some time to onboard a client. Like whenever I'm talking to like our salespeople, it's like, I don't expect anyone to ever sign a client on the first communication. So whether someone sends us an email or Facebook message or we reach out, I don't expect anyone to be like, all right, contract signed at the end of the call. That would be unheard of. And I would almost question why that happened so quickly without more discussion, just because of it seems almost irrational to do something in 30 minutes and be like, okay, here's a tremendous amount of money per month, and we've gotten this buttoned up in 30 minutes. Like, there's no commitments, goals, or expectations that have been ironed out. It just seems too fast. So normally for us, once we start making what we call positive communication with someone, we should probably close them in 30 days or less, meaning that we have an agreement between the two of us where we're going to be working for them. So usually 30 days is a solid note. But this one in particular kind of presented itself in less than a week. And I went to the business. It was a couple hours out. I signed the deal, and we were maybe open for like 30 days, maybe less than that, like 20 days. And as far as taking on new clients, because the business had been quote unquote running since 2018, but we didn't really do much until like January of 2019, as far as opening our doors to saying, okay, now we're going to take new people in. And I was working with him and I said, you know, it's very simple. We're going to be doing Facebook content development, PR, and advertising. And he's like, great. That sounds good. And I said, the one thing that we need to understand is how much you want to invest in advertising as far as what your total spend is going to be. And he said, that's fine. He said, we can cover that as a later date because it's more of a gut feeling. There's not really something that I want to commit to right now. And I said, okay. I said, well, in the meantime, we will run content and we will, you know, garner reviews and try and stir up as much as we can. And this was a big networking business that it was basically a business that had a lot of independent contractors working for it. And the independent contractors represented the firm. And, so I was working with them and teaching them about social media, and it was going pretty well. Their page in the first month for that region of Michigan had the most attention of any other industry page in that area. So it was going, I thought, well from an organic perspective, but the problem was we weren't running any ads. And like I tell people all the time, like you can post really good organic content, but most of that's not going to convert for you. Because on Facebook, you have to understand, like if you have 1,000 followers and you make a post, unless it's getting shared a bunch, really only about 5 to 15% of your following is going to see that, because Facebook's algorithms are so metered that it limits who sees posts. And I think a lot of people kind of forget that, especially business owners that aren't familiar with the algorithms or how, you know, page reach works. So I told the owner this, and everyone was fine. And about 2 months in, you know, we were doing all this work on reviews and content and publishing and making recommendations for like web changes and funnels and all that jazz. What a marketing company should do. And I had reached out and I said, where are we at with advertising? And they said, we're still not sure yet. We don't really see the value in it quite yet. And I said, reiterated what I said in the initial meeting, like, this is what you signed up for. Like, this is what's going to drive sales and conversions, is this advertising funnel. And he said, okay. He said, I'll get back with you. So we paused again, and we had some domain issues and some email issues we were trying to clear up for them. And we ended up doing that and figuring out the marketing company they had before kind of pimped them and didn't really give them the information, kind of offboard them properly as they should have. So I tracked all that down for them and got that. And then I got a call like 2 weeks after this initial conversation, And they said, hey, you know, we've decided to let you guys go. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. What, may I ask what the reason was? And he's like, well, we feel like our staff in the office can do what you guys have been doing. And I said, I don't doubt that. But I said, one thing we haven't done yet is actually run advertising where you can actually convert. And he's like, I think we can figure that out ourselves. And I said, all right, well, you have our number. So if anything, you know, goes awry or you need help, then, you know, we can obviously help. So we had more discussion than that, but that was kind of how it ended up. And I look at this kind of with fresh eyes as like looking over the situation after having time to think about it is like one of the mistakes I made early on was not putting enough pressure on them to advertise. And that pressure would have come in the form or should have come in the form of explaining the value in a detailed way where they can actually see their return on investment. I did that, but it wasn't great. Like I just talked about it in very general terms. So part of this business is educating clients on this market and getting them to understand the value. And they saw the value in the content and the public awareness and Google reviews and things like that. But they didn't see the value in the actual advertising spend. So that was an area where I think I personally fell short because this was an account that I was managing. I thought that it should have been done a little bit better. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, if I were to be truly honest, they weren't willing to spend on a platform they were unfamiliar with. And I think that's where a lot of the hesitation came in. And the other thing too that struck me as a bit odd is this isn't like high pressure sales. Like when I go and meet with someone, like I want them to be 100% confident and ask any questions and, you know, do all the due diligence needed. Like high pressure sales to me is trash. Like I have no time for it. That's not how good relationships are built. I'm not selling a used car that was in a flood. I am selling a relationship-based service to help a company grow through marketing and organizational development. That's what we're selling. And I can't do that in a high-pressure way because I think a lot of people can see through that. And that's just not the type of person I can sleep at night being, if that makes sense. So this was an area where I thought it's just really strange kind of how the events shook out. But at the end of the day, like the things that I think we took away from this is one, we need to be more clear with our expectations up front and commitments from them on what a spend looks like and what a return looks like. And it's really interesting to me that it went down the way it did because everything on paper was going well from an awareness point of view. So it's that thing where I think we should have done a better job explaining ourselves, and then had the pushback continued, that would have been something we never would have even entered into because it wouldn't have been worth our time. Because long term, you know, let's just say someone's paying us $1,000 a month and they're paying us $12,000 a year and they're not advertising on a platform. It's very hard for us to get a return for them if we're just doing organic posts. Like we would have to have some very viral content that would get them returns, and that's just not, it's just not likely. It's not plausible to assume that organic content is going to do it for you. A normal return on ad spend, ROAS, on Facebook is 3-1. The market high is 5-1. So for every $10 you spend, you earn $50 in return. So that's kind of the data. So for us, you know, if we see a 3-1 ROAS and they're spending, let's say, $2,000 a month in aggregate between management fees and ad spend, you know, then they need to see somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 72,000 coming back to get an average ROAS. So all those numbers, I mean, this is kind of a lot of inside information, but this is kind of why we're doing the show, is because I want to kind of display all of these intricate details of marketing that are extremely important. So that's our first quote unquote loss. And I think we turned it into a pretty big win because we did a lot of revisions on contract and onboarding clients after that. And things went really, really well. And we're still improving that process every time, because sometimes every client has a different need on onboarding up front when we bring them inside. So everything is a learning experience. So the second client that we had lost, this was a very interesting case. And it's one that is rather frustrating, because it's an area where we can literally say, you know, we didn't really sign up for this, but at the same time, we never said no either. So we were working with another client and we had an agreement in place. And midway through the agreement, they brought in another marketing company to manage our efforts. So essentially it was like, you have the business owner, you have marketing company A, that is an overseer, kind of like a chief marketing officer of sorts. And then you have marketing company B, who is us, and we are reporting to marketing company A. Marketing company A is then reporting to the owner. That's a very, very tough situation to be in, because you don't have a direct line of sight to the owner. And for us, we didn't have any two-way communication on what was supposed to be going on for the business. We heard everything secondhand, which is fine. But one day out of the blue, I received this super long, angry, fiery, all caps, red font email from someone from marketing company A, and it's kind of laying into us about how we haven't been doing this, we haven't been doing this. And I'm like, all right, well, let's take a look. And I talked to Johnstone. I said, hey man, I need you to look at this, because I don't see anything wrong, but then again, I'm a little biased because it's my work. And he looked at it and he's like, I agree. So I sent back this giant email with a bunch of attachments and exhibit A, B, C, and D. And, you know, here's the strategy plan that we laid out. Here's the market research that we did. Here's the competitor analysis, you know, yada, yada, yada. And apparently we caught them on a bad day. And that was the excuse, was it was a bad day. And we said, well, this isn't a great relationship. Like, it felt very forced, and it's not the type of business that we want to be involved with. So we said, you know, we'll keep working, and things were a little bit better for about a month. And then we got an email from them with a termination letter attached to it. And this was like 9 months before the agreement should have ended. And the letter basically stated that because of one of the advertisements that we ran impacted the company's Facebook page, that they were terminating us. Like, there was other things in there, but that was the main one. And long story short, this company had two Facebook ad accounts. We were running on ad account A, and then one day ad account B was shut down. And ad account B was shut down because it was promoting something that was against Facebook's policies. And because ad account B was running long before we came on board, Facebook did a crawl and a manual review of the accounts and then shut down all accounts associated with it. So our team reached out to Facebook. We probably spent 10 hours talking to Facebook reps about this to understand exactly what happened. And they sent us a full report. And they said, yes, sure enough, it was ad account B that was the problem. Ad account A was just collateral damage, which was the account we were running on. And I showed this to the owner, and he's like, that makes sense. That's fine. You guys are free and clear. And this was all before this letter came about of us being terminated. So the letter was given, and that was cited as one of the reasons. And I was like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, we've already talked about this. So using this as more fodder for getting rid of us is absurd. But one of the things that they had said in there is one of our other advertisements on another platform was mistargeted towards a different range than what we had agreed upon. So I had my assistant pull everything on the account that we had ever ran. And again, I showed Johnstone and showed someone else who was on our team at the time and said, do you see anything wrong with our targeting based on what we told them? And they said, no. So again, it was this issue of we're getting two different sets of data. We're seeing one thing and they're saying another. And ended up, we went to go meet with them and they said, well, here's our evidence. And we still couldn't verify theirs against ours. So we decided just to walk away from everything amicably and just kind of part ways with no further problems, no further money owed on either side, et cetera, because marketing company A was expecting us to pay damages, which was absurd. And we showed them why that was absurd. So they just decided just to walk away after we showed them why we thought it was crazy. But I tell that story not to put down another company. I didn't even mention names, so it's not even like that's what we're doing here. But this is why there's a company in Louisville that's one of our competitors, and we've, you know, we read their stuff a lot because they put out really good content. And one of the things that they put on their website, which I've always appreciated, is like, we only want to work with good clients. And what defines a good client? And they list out like five or six different things that a good client is. And I've always respected that because I'm in the same camp. Like, I only want to work with somebody that wants to do the work and is passionate about the work. And this was a situation where a young company, startup, you know, gets a fairly decently sized contract and the relationship starts off good. Then a new person is interjected into the mix and then it starts going downhill. And we really didn't know what the right thing to do was. So we decided we'd just ride it out, and it didn't really make much of a difference either way if we would have stopped when we thought, when we initially talked about stopping, or when we stopped when we got fired. Either way, it wouldn't have made a difference, but this is an example of where once you sense a relationship starting to go south, you need to address it immediately. And this is true with everything, whether it's a coworker, a spouse, a friend. Whenever you see something showing the telltale signs of not working out well, you need to hit it head on because it can be pretty disastrous if you don't. And this was an issue of us not being forward enough to say, look, this is what we're seeing right now. This is how we're feeling. This is what we propose. If you guys don't want to do that, then we'll walk. That's totally fine. But that is an issue where it's really in your best interest as a business owner or even as an employee to address these things head on so they don't create more headaches later. Because I think a lot of us kind of have this ostrich situation where we just kind of put our heads in the sand and we ignore things and we hope that they'll get better, and they won't, especially if you have an antagonist on the other end that is promulgating crap. And there are people in business that like to stir things up just in the name of stirring things up. So it's in your best interest to address these things head on. One, it's the professional way to go. And two, it can really help mend relationships before they get past the point of no return or no repair. All right. And the third example, just to close, this one wasn't really, no one got fired. It was just an amicable split. It was a short-term project, just to kind of measure a market for a company that was just kind of emerging onto the scene. And that one ended really well. But that's just kind of an example of like, you sign a contract for 3 to 6 months or for 3 or 6 months, and nothing is ever guaranteed that it's going to be renewed. And sometimes, like for us in this example, it made sense that it wasn't, just because the work that we had done was good enough to hand over to them to say, this is something that you ought to run yourself because the margins are so thin on this. And that was a situation where it made sense for them not to continue on with us. This was their decision, not ours. But in retrospect, it was something I wholly agreed with because it made perfect sense for their margins, for their business, and for the growth of their company not to have the additional expense of a marketing company to do something that we had given them the data and the knowledge on how to do, and they were well versed enough to do it on their own. And that's one thing that's, I think, unique about us is usually when we do our initial talks with companies, it's like, hey, there might become a point where it's cheaper for you to bring your marketing in-house, or there's a X factor for you to bring your marketing in-house, or something that we can't necessarily do for you. If that comes along, we'll do it. We'll tell you it's in your best interest to not work with us anymore because of this reason. Now, 90 to 95% of the time, I really can't see a reason why that would be the case. But there are examples that we've discovered where it would make sense for them not to go third party and to go in-house. And a lot of that is companies that do like high volume marketing and do things that need talent inside the house. And for us, it makes more sense from a liability perspective for us not to lend employees out and for them to have them in-house. So that's one of the cores of what we do, is just this honesty. I guess there's this core value of honesty where we tell people, you know, this is where it's a good idea to have internal marketing. This is a good area where you should have external marketing. And we'll just shoot you straight. Like, there's no reason for us to be dishonest or to create reasons for a company to hire us. Like, it's either it works financially or it doesn't, or it works relationally or it doesn't. And that's the one thing that I really like about the dialogues that we've had with people, is that we've had good conversations with people that understood the long-term value but didn't have the upfront capital, but have said, when I'm ready, this is something I'm definitely going to do because I now understand how important it is. And to me, that's good, because that's an area where high-pressure sales doesn't prevail. And that long-term value, the long-term relationship, I think definitely does. So those, I hope, you know, we're at about 30 minutes now, but I hope that is helpful to you in some way, to kind of, you know, pull back the curtain on our company and show you some areas where we've made mistakes, where we didn't get out of the game early enough, or where we made a mistake, and we need to take ownership. Now, again, sometimes you're in a position where it's not your fault, but sometimes the writing was on the wall where you could have or should have gotten out before you actually did. So I just wanted to point to a couple of those things, and hopefully that helps you and to understand sort of our process and what we've learned from things. And all of these things that I've talked about today, to me, hold a tremendous amount of value. These are things that I'm teaching other people as I'm working with them. And it's things that we talk to our sales team about, and really any new associates that come on board, that these are areas where we've made mistakes before. We want to try not to repeat them. But we need to call out our mistakes so we can learn from them, so we don't duplicate them on other accounts. And that's the most important thing, is limiting the amount of mistakes you're making, learning from the ones you do, and pressing forward with that new knowledge. Pride is a big killer of businesses, thinking that you'll never make a mistake, or that you're perfect, or that you have to be perfect. Like, that's absurd. It's really just being honest and committing to things. And when something goes awry, owning up to what didn't work out properly. So, all right. Well, again, this is episode 2 of More Than Marketing. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen. If you have any comments or feedback, you can hit me up at rob@wayneconsulting.org. All of the socials for the business are @WCG, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So I think that'll do it for this week's episode. If you guys can, drop a review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google. Let me know how you think the show is going, what we could talk about more that would be of value to you as a business owner or as an entrepreneur or as a student or an employee. Wherever you're at in that spectrum, let us know what we can talk about from a business POV that would be helpful for you. All right. I hope you guys have a great week. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the episode. Godspeed.